Alrighty.
Okay.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Writers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, and we read comics.
Yes.
How's it going today, Nathan?
Good. Are you sunburnt?
Yes.
What did you
no,
do?
No, I'm tan, Nathan.
You tanned very red.
We were doing like inventory at my job, and it took
outside?
Like... Yeah, it took
you have
like,
to do that?
Yeah, normally I like... You know, kind of handle the materials and stuff for when our guys need it. And so our like supplier came and we were doing the inventory for that. And it took like 3 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I didn't expect that.
I was looking at you and I'm like, something's off about Daniel today. He's a different hue.
You're just mad because I'm tanner than you are.
I don't think that's true. I don't think we'd even be able to tell right now because you're so red.
Yeah.
So
I just had to put a filter on it to make it look like a tan or something.
Yeah, make it look darker.
Yeah. As soon as I saw how red I was in the mirror, I'm like, fucking perfect on recording day, you know?
Do the reverse of like saturation and then it'll even out.
Yeah, just make me pale. But we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Bird King. We got Back Matter Matters, and we have the poll list. But we start with the news.
Yes, sir.
What news you got, Nathan?
Damn, big hot news. Big hot steaming news.
Like today news? Like, why is it so hot?
I think it was yesterday.
Okay.
Jim Lee promoted to the president of DC Comics.
Oh, promoted.
Promoted.
When you said promoted, I'm like, what is he promoting to him? Like, aren't they on the same team?
He's moving up.
Nice.
In the world.
The president.
President.
So that's like all of it.
That's like all of DC Comics. You report to Jimmy Lee.
Yeah.
Famous for his appearance on Sesame Street
right.
last year. which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, good for him.
Because he's still doing like covers, I think, and stuff. So
sometimes.
It's kind of weird to be like the president of a whole organization, be like, oh, I got to drop Batman for like this cover.
I go to this meeting, I'm like, fucking
dude, that would be so sick.
He just pencils during like some meeting.
Yeah,
like, what do you think, Mr. Lee? He's like, what do you think of this Batman?
I did another Batman cover. Yeah, that's wild. That would be kind of sick if he was in like big meetings and they're like, what do we want to do for the next crisis that we do, and he's just like drawing.
He's like, I already got a cover going right now.
Here's what I'm thinking. He draws it. So yeah. That's pretty cool.
Good for him. We love it.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Nathan, we got another Transformers trailer.
I didn't watch it.
Spoilers, Unicron is in it.
Who's that?
He's like the Transformer that's like a planet.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Does it transform into a big man? I don't remember Unicron.
Really?
Was he in the show?
I'm sure, yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure if I showed it to you, you'd be like, oh, yeah.
So he's like Ego?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. Or Mogo from,
yeah.
from and there, the Green Lanterns.
There were like clips of like Pete Davidson doing his thing, and he's one of the robots.
Oh, okay.
He's Mirage, and he was honestly a pretty good fit.
Really?
Yeah. So it was kind of didn't seem too weird.
Nice.
Speaking of cars and trailers, Nathan.
Yeah.
We got a little teaser for Twisted Metal.
Dude, yeah, that was cool.
Coming July 27th.
I forgot that was happening.
Me too. And then
it looked fake.
Yeah.
Something about it.
Anthony Mackie didn't even believe he was there.
Yeah. He didn't know what was going on. I don't think he even knew what he was playing.
Yeah.
But
just read a script. I'm like, I can sit in a car.
Yeah. He's like, I can cross my arms.
I get to sit down. Sounds great.
Yeah. I don't have to work on my abs for this one.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's good. I look back on those games fondly.
What did we have that on? Was that on like...
On the PSP.
The PSP?
Yeah.
Dude, I went to the movies yesterday and some kid was like on a bench playing some game and you had a PSP.
Was it a PSP?
It was like, yeah.
Or was it like a Steam Deck, perhaps?
It looked just like a PSP.
Okay,
like
it was
same,
probably a PSP.
Same buttons. Yeah, I'm like...
They had like a newer generation than the ones that we had.
Yeah, they had like a Lite or something.
Yeah.
Or PS Vita or something.
That might be what it is.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But so we didn't get that shit. We let our shit break.
Yeah. Daniel Brown Michael Bendis is starting a new creator-owned series called The Ones at Dark Horse with the artist Jacob Edgar.
Isn't that out?
Is it out? I don't think it is.
I thought I saw ads for it because I thought it looked cool.
I don't think it's out yet, but maybe it is.
I'm going to challenge your news.
Okay, you should.
Because I was like, that looks cool, and I saw it was by Bendis. I'm like, not that cool.
What do you mean, not that cool? Like,
yeah, dude.
You think the ones looks cool, and then you see that Bendis is attached to it, and that diminishes your excitement for it?
Yeah. So number one came out November 2nd.
Last year?
Yeah. By Dark Horse?
Oh, wait.
What notes are you looking at?
That was just a tweet from Dark Horse. I didn't even know this had happened.
What'd they say? That the trade's coming out?
Each person in every mythology who was told they were the one are brought together for the first time to defeat the one, the actual one, the real one. Meet the ones from Brian Michael Bendis and Jacob Edgar.
Huh. They're a little...
And this was...
The media guy was on vacation, apparently. Like,
maybe they scheduled the tweet and they put it like a year late.
Yeah, that's funny.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay, well, that's not real news.
Speaking of creator-owned things, Nathan.
Okay.
Spawn is doing another crossover with Killadelphia.
That's random.
Super random.
Like, Ed Brubaker?
I don't know what you're thinking of, but not Ed Brubaker. Killadelphia is like a current thing that's going on, I think.
It's Killadelphia, like the series?
Yeah.
I'm almost positive that's Ed Brubaker.
I'll bet you that's not. Stop it.
No, I don't want to slap bet. What did we slap bet last week? I remember doing it, but I can't remember what it was about.
It was whether or not Ben Schwartz would be Plastic Man.
Oh, yeah. You're in such a bad shape for that.
Dude, oh my God. I can't. It's going to feel so good when I slap the shit out of you.
10 years from now.
And I'll be like, hey, you remember that one time?
It's from Rodney Barnes. I don't know who that is.
He told you.
Dude, why did I think that was a Brubaker thing?
I could just slap you now.
Was there a shot? No, that's not. We didn't agree on this. Maybe I saw a Killadelphia cover from like his boy.
Sean Phillips.
Sean Phillips. Thank you.
Maybe.
What is Killadelphia? Should we read that?
Probably.
It's like on issue 30. It's got to be somewhat like pretty good.
Yeah, there's not a lot of ongoing Image stuff. So gotta support those.
Especially not that goes past like 15.
Yeah.
So, Daniel.
Nathan.
We're talking about scary stuff, right? Some Spawn. They released the list of the Night Terrors tie-in books.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. And you, Daniel, we're reading every single one.
What do you mean?
We have Night Terrors First Blood. Okay, that's a prequel one. That's normal. And then there's Night Terrors 1 through 4. That's fine.
Okay.
Here's the spinoff books. Night Terrors is in front of all of these titles. So there's one for Action Comics, Angel Breaker, don't know who that is, Batman, Black Adam, Catwoman, Detective Comics, Green Lantern, Harley Quinn, Nightwing, Poison Ivy, Punchline, Ravager, Robin, Shazam, Superman, The Flash, The Joker, Titans, Wonder Woman, and Zatanna.
Ravager?
Ravager.
What is that?
I don't know.
God damn, dude. That's like 20. What the fuck does Harley Quinn have to do with that?
Each of those series have two issues. So it'll be July and August when all that shit happens.
Should we buy that or like at least the first one?
I'm gonna read the main series probably.
Yeah,
I think it's like we talked about it twice and I can't remember what it was.
Josh Williamson's doing that.
That sounds right.
Okay,
I'm gonna buy the Green Lantern tie-in just because I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel for anything Green Lantern. But we'll see what that is.
Cool.
But yeah, what a ridiculous amount.
Nathan, we got a like picture of the Avatar The Last Airbender animated movie.
And it looks pretty solid, right?
Looks cool. Yeah, they're a little bit older.
That should be cool. We should read those comics.
Yeah.
Those are supposed to be like pretty solid as well.
There's like spinoff ones that aren't just like the show, you know?
Right.
Which would be sick. And I agree, yes. So we got a trailer for American Born Chinese. It's coming out it's a series on Disney Plus.
Okay.
And American Born Chinese is a graphic novel that it'll be based on. That was written by Jean Luen Yang.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I don't know the premise, but
seems like it speaks for itself.
A lot of people that was in like Everything Everywhere All at Once are going to be in the show, which is cool.
Oh, like the dude that won the Oscar?
Maybe.
Oh, okay.
They just said people.
We got some people from this movie you like.
Yeah. Can't wait. Who's Michelle Yeoh?
She's
in it.
Oh, well, that's great. That's a good pick.
Yeah, so I think that could be a fun one to read. Like,
yeah, totally.
I don't know what the publisher was. It was something small. Maybe like a Fantagraphics or something. But
okay.
Yeah, it seems cool.
Very cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. We got a art of Invincible Season 1 book.
Oh, yeah. From
Skybound.
Yeah.
Coming out in November.
Yeah, that should be fun.
Yeah. It's just the comic. They just print the comic.
They're like, I got you. There's one extra page. It's like, we got you, bitch.
They gotta read it.
Here's the comic.
So I thought that was neat.
Yeah, it would be kind of cool to see the collaboration between like the art departments and then like, you know, Kirkman and Ryan Otley and stuff.
I'm a fucking sucker for the art books.
Yeah. And it seems like he was like fairly involved in that whole process. At least he made it seem like it. So I'd be interested to see what extent that is, but
right,
very cool. And we're getting season two sometime this year, according to Invincible.
I bet it'll be like fucking December.
Yeah, probably. If it was anything.
Yeah. But anyway, let's get into the book that we read this week.
Yep. Daniel, we read Bird King, Volume 1 by Daniel Friedman and Crom. Crom is the guy that did the art. I like people that just have one name.
Yeah, he's got
have to be really confident and just have like one name, you know?
Yeah, his real name is like something Cromley or something, but he just goes by Crom.
For some reason, I was thinking it was Cromulus.
Cromulus.
And I was like, oh yeah, Mr. Cromulus.
Crom for short, please.
Cromulus is my father.
He's like Beyonce.
Yeah, I know.
Just Crom.
Which, you know what? Good for him, and he deserves it because this is pretty fucking amazing. He's apparently a tattoo artist as well.
Yeah, I looked that up. I followed him right after reading this, and he is a tattoo artist in London, Nathan.
Wow.
Yeah, and I like emailed him to try and get like an appointment.
Shut up.
Because he
is. Oh, because you're going to London.
I'm going to London.
Dude, get a Bird King.
I fucking might.
Dude, if you.
He also did like a Berserk like flash sheet, which looks really sick too.
Oh, cool.
So, and he just tattoos like how his artwork is.
Yeah.
So I'd be super down.
That would be amazing.
His shop is 14 minutes from where I'm staying. So it's.
Shut the fuck up.
It's like going to happen.
You should walk in and say hi.
Probably that too.
That's so cool.
But yeah, I'm really excited if that would work out. Because I was like up in the air on like who to get tattooed by. But now that this is an option, I'm like, absolutely.
That would be amazing.
Getting tattooed by a comic book artist?
Yeah, you gotta buy the physical thing, have him sign it as well.
He sells like signed copies. Tattooed in London? Yeah, either London or Paris. I was more leaning towards London.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
So yeah.
Well, what do you think of the book?
I don't really know 100% what happened, okay. But I loved it. You know,
I loved every panel.
The Mike Mignola, Andrew McLean, like inspiration, like vibes.
That's
were awesome.
Perfect. Yeah.
And it was just like, I just love like all the decisions he was making, like artwork wise. Mm-hmm. And the story just works so well in this style, you know, like if you try to imagine it, like I think only like Chris Anka or something could pull off something like that, like in Vein of White Trees, you know, but.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So only like certain art works with certain stories, and this one fucking like nails it, you know?
Yeah, totally. This is a fantasy book. I'm not a big fantasy genre person, but I absolutely love this.
I eat up
fantasy shit. Which I think is such a testament to like how good it is, because it's like this like unique world. It's like a unique land that like, you know, doesn't exist, and there's like the different kingdoms or whatever, and they do a fairly good job at like explaining those. But I really enjoy just like all the designs of some of the, there's like these things called wraiths, which are, I don't know, monsters pretty much.
Yeah.
And they all look super cool. They have their own distinct identity. There's some like assassins that look really cool. Just like the whole world I fell in love with, which I think is,
there's a fucking map. Love a map in the comic. I love
when someone makes a map.
Yeah, they're like, we gotta go here. I'm like, oh man, it's way over there.
I flip back to the beginning. I'm like, holy shit, that's a far.
I'm like such a sucker for like a silent brute like story.
Yeah, you know? Totally.
Just some big guy who doesn't talk.
Kind of like good at fighting, but he's chill.
Like, you know? Step by step.
There was a moment where I'm like, this is step by step, and maybe that's why I like it. But I also like that Bird King is like, he's like this big brute guy, but he also like likes the birds. He'll like let the birds like land on
his. Well, he is like a bird.
He is a bird, I think. That's not very clear, but I like that it's not, because it lets your mind run wild. So they do that in like all the right places, I feel.
The only thing that I noticed was that the sound effects were like a little weird. Like they're definitely like unique, like with certain things.
I think lettering is one of the strong suits of this book.
Yeah, it is
as
like
well.
Strong, but just kind of like the words that they choose was interesting.
You'll
to
have
me.
To point them out, because I like most of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's get into it. So the story focuses on Bianca, who is like walking around in the beginning around Feather Hill is where she lives. And she's just like smashing statues just by herself. And then her friend Amela is marching to war under the rule of a guy named Agul. And they call Bianca an outlier because she's not joining the war efforts, I guess.
Dude, the so this kingdom or whatever has like this logo on their flag.
A great logo.
It looks just like the Fallen logo. You remember those skate shoes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were like thicker Fs, though.
Yeah, but same shit.
Yeah, same shit.
But no, cool logo.
Good logo. I love the whole environment of the book. Like, he does... Crom takes... Or he has the space to, like, create the environment. And so you see, like, a couple silent panels of just, like, everything surrounding and all the statues. Who knows how those statues got there? I have a feeling that they were, like, people because there were a bunch of statues just, like, in weird positions.
She's just smashing that shit. I think
she's just basically smashing these people's, like, urns, essentially, is what it would be.
Right.
The horses that they're riding are super metal. Did you notice that?
Yeah, they got, like, the wraps around their face for some reason.
This is, like, a fantasy book that's super metal.
Yeah.
I feel like. So I enjoy that a lot. Book. Yeah. So she goes back to her master, who I guess is someone that makes swords for the war effort. And he says that he can't tell her why she can't register for the war. And he's like, go make some swords.
His name is Thonir.
His name is Thonir. Yeah. Sick name.
I really like loved this thing that he does with the shadows of their eyes. He just like colors them in black.
Yeah, when they're like looking down or something. And yeah,
because like it can be weird to draw eyes in certain angles. So he's just like, ah, fuck it. And then fills it in.
And it works.
Yeah.
Because it's like she's like looking down and she's like not very confident in what she's saying or whatever. And she's like, they took my friend, Amela. She's probably going to die in the war.
Yeah, I just love it. Love a good shadow.
Yeah. So that was chapter one. Chapter two. Bianca reads from like a history book that tells her about the wraiths, and there's a wraith for each kingdom and kind of explains the world a little bit. And she smashes some more statues, and then the birds lead her to the King of Feather Hill, which is our bird king boy. But
it's just a corpse in the armor sitting on the throne.
Yeah. And but we see him in action later, but I goddamn it, I love this design.
So sick.
Like, I just love the juxtaposition of like his big ass wide body and like his little head up there.
He couldn't even like look down. Like,
yeah, he can't
because his collar is so fucking huge. I don't even know if he has a mouth.
Like, I've only seen him nose up.
Dude, what made me so mad looking at this at Crom's page is that he had toys of Bird King made. They're like 10-inch vinyl figures and they're like all sold out.
I looked at Crom's store. Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost got like the poster.
I might still get the poster.
He's a poster of Bird King. And I'm like, God, this is so sick.
But yeah, the toy, it just looks so fucking sick because it has like the fire head where that gets later. It's so sick.
That's so cool.
And I was like, I need to steal this from somebody.
Yeah. I love the color palette of Bird King as well. Like the shade of like bluish green on like the metal, and there's like gold parts to it. And then like the red that clashes. It's just like super, super fun. He's got like arrows in him as well, which is like part of the design.
Pretty hard.
I don't know if that's like part of the reason why he was inactive.
Does he have him later?
I think he does have him later, yeah. Because I think the birds sit on the arrows. But
no, it's because he... We'll get to it, but...
Yeah, so...
Some dudes from, like, the kingdom or whatever, like knights or something.
Yeah, there's, like, a ghoul has, like, some army men, and we don't meet... We haven't met a ghoul up to this point. He's just, like, the person, like, running the kingdom.
A
ghoul
is, like... A dude's name. It's not like a ghoul.
Yeah, it's not a ghoul. It's like
a ghoul.
The leader, the Sidious, perhaps. So a ghoul's army men walk up to the master dude and they task him with repairing the Adurin Greatsword of Everlasting Flame.
Love
it. Which is such a good name.
That's so fucking hard. that'd be a sick band name.
He's like, how many words should this sword be? Which requires a special ore that he has to like get. And so the master is name dropped as the Hammer of the North. Also a sick name.
So hard.
And he's given 10 days to how fix this sword. How can you not
like fantasy shit with like this? They these do kind
it
of
right.
Names.
They do it right here. Yeah. Which is like, they make it so metal. Like, I like metal fantasy. I think that's what my genre of fantasy is. Because this is fucking sick.
If someone came out to be like, you're the Hammer of the North, I'm like, fuck yeah, I am. Like,
damn, that's a good one.
Because he's like the only like blacksmith, I guess, in like Feather Hill.
Yeah.
So it's pretty important.
And I like when an old man he's like super muscular and he's got like a couple scars on him and he's just like diligently like doing one thing and he's just making swords.
Doing young man's work.
Yeah. And there's a great line when the army men are trying to like get him to do something. And then Thonir is like, a ghoul demands nothing from me. He asks and I answer.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, that's cool. He's like,
fuck your king.
So I also like, there's a couple like lettering things here that I think make it fun. So when he gets like angry at the man asking him to do him shit, he's like gripping his like hammer super hard and just has a grip in like lettering, which I think is fun. Or like whenever there's any sort of action, like there's one where he just like kind of pushes this guy over and he like skids like pretty far. I think the lettering really adds to just like the power of it.
Right.
Which is cool. But or like the birds when they're flying around, they're just like chirping around. That gives it a little bit more energy, I feel like.
You'll get like a little flip flip for the flap of their wings.
Oh, man. I love that. Because I like when lettering is like when it's supposed to be like onomatopoeia, but they just like do the word.
Yeah.
And it's just like flip.
Yeah, or whatever. Grip.
So chapter 3. Master Thonir takes Bianca to the flatlands, which leads to like this big cave underground where Bianca finds the ore that they need, but also tons of like skeletons and like paintings and stuff on the wall. And she's like, well, that's weird. And then they go home and Bianca blacksmiths the Odurin greatsword. And that's pretty much this whole chapter. But the scene where they're like blacksmithing this blade just is so cool because it's like a solid like 3 or 4 pages where they're like constructing it, and it's just like a bunch of, it's like the whole blacksmithing process where they heat it up, they melt the ore, they pour it into the mold, and then they cool it and then fucking make it sharp and shit. It's just super satisfying.
Yeah, the sword's like a really cool like color, like it's got like a bunch of colors in it. I guess the ore is like, I don't know, colorful, and
it's so like it's a marble kind of feel, which is really, it's a fun sword design. And, you know, he's really good at drawing skeletons. I think as a tattoo artist, you kind of have to be.
Oh, yeah. Gotta be able to draw skulls a million times.
So when she's in this, like, cave where the ore is, there's, like, these, like, pterodactyl-looking, like, skeletons and shit.
Yeah.
And super, super cool. So chapter 4, Thonir talks about his time in the war and Featherhill being, like, burnt down. And then he became the blacksmith for a ghoul after that. And then he talks about how Bianca's mom went to war and kind of like how he got the Hammer of the North name. Young Thonir looks pretty cool.
Oh yeah, there's like,
I like seeing him.
The armor on his arm.
Yeah. That's always fun.
I'm like, did he have a metal arm or something? Like my brain just went straight to like robot arm.
Yeah. You know? 100%. And then a ghoul's got like, he's got like the four horsemen or something. He's got these like four guys that look really like special, and they just like pull up and they like start talking some shit. Then they get hit pretty much, which starts like a big fight. Master Thonir is like stabbed, and then Bianca is like taking him to like escape on like a horse. But they like kill most of the dudes except for, I think, one. So big action scene here.
This is that weird like onomatopoeia I was telling you about. Like, I'm not sure what sound that's supposed
sinter?
To be.
Sinter?
Is that a word?
I think, didn't they mention like sinters in this?
Oh, right.
I don't know what, I never picked up what that was.
Yeah, so there's like a lot of lore, like things that, what were you saying about like,
Wraiths?
Wraiths, yeah. There's like a bunch of different wraiths that each kingdom has. It's like kind of like an item or something that they all kind of represent.
Yeah, and it's like it's kind of like how all the like Green Lantern corps have like their own like creature as like a part of it. So like Parallax is like the Yellow Lantern one and stuff. So it's similar to that. But
so yeah, there's a definitely a lot of lore that was like a little, it was just like a lot.
A bit hard to follow sometimes.
Sure,
but not like necessary to really understand what's going on.
Yeah, you don't have to like know it,
but I would appreciate like knowing what a sinter is because it sounds cool.
Yeah, and there was something about black steel can like wake the dead, and the black steel is like what is in the sword or something.
Oh, cool.
Did you pick up on that?
No, I didn't. I must have,
I wrote that down because I'm like, oh, weird. That's cool.
That, yeah, it sounds pretty cool. I imagine that's something a ghoul would want in general. And yeah, so this chapter like ends with her carrying off Thonir, who's like stabbed on a horse, which is definitely like it feels like The Last of Us. That's just like what it reminded me of.
When
like
they
this
went?
Little girl taking care of this old man, seen a lot, and they're just going away on a horse while he's like bleeding out.
Mm.
Chapter 5.
So is this the one where they, so something happens to where like Bianca's revealed to be like a center. Did you go over that?
No, I haven't. I didn't really understand it. I didn't write down much about it.
So I guess like a center has something weird with their blood for some reason. Like Thonir is one, and that's why his veins and like scars are all like red.
Oh.
And when she's like burned by like some coal or fire or something like that, that center sound kind of shows her scars and like veins kind of inflaming, you know, and she has them for the rest of the book. And I guess that's just a special type of person or something.
Interesting.
Maybe it's just people that are able to be blacksmiths or something.
Yeah, maybe.
And that's why she wasn't able to like go to war because
she was a center.
Yeah. Like she was.
So she's destined to like be a blacksmith.
I don't know about if it's a blacksmith, but it means something. You know what I mean? And that probably will come to fruition later.
Yeah. There's a volume 2 of this that's coming out, I believe, pretty soon.
That's cool. Yeah. Because this was just a trade that came out. It wasn't printed in issues.
Correct. Like, yeah. It comes in graphic novel volumes. Yeah.
An OG end, if you will.
Yes. Chapter 5, Thonir tells Bianca to go to Atlas. And then he like passes out, and one of a ghoul's men that is still alive has to go to a ghoul and tell him that Bianca and Thonir got away. And a ghoul's not too happy, and he orders that guy to go to Bispin and get some assassins called the Triplets from the House of the Shadow. I just love the longer the name. It just becomes cooler. Like,
dude. Fucking a ghoul's like throne.
So sick, dude. It's the like most metal bloody. Shit.
There's a fucking eyeball above him that's just dripping blood.
It's so good.
And there's statues of like just like people crying and
like people
blood.
Covering their eyes, especially. And then there's like an eyeball above him that's like bleeding. And it's like this all like then a ghoul's mixes fucking together sick so well. Too. And a ghoul, yeah, he looks fucking unreal. Something with eyes with him because he's got bandages over his eyes.
And there's blood like, on him.
There's blood spots for where his eyes would be.
He's got this crown of leaves or something for that, some reason.
That's the nicest part about him.
Yeah, it's very it's pretty.
Very
and
cute.
And he's got like a shoulder coat full of skulls.
Yeah, it's so rad. And like he like orders this guy to bring like a bushel of tongues to the assassins, which are supposed to like tell those people like what to do.
Yeah.
And so he's got like a bunch of severed tongues that are just like, I guess I imagine them just like moving like constantly. And like they have like little word balloons
like
that come out.
Saliva.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's gross. And I'm like, just like a text message maybe it would suffice.
Send a raven or something.
Yeah. But like I just imagine them like all moving. And I like the little word balloons that come out of them as well. Because like, you know, that they're like saying something. So I guess like that's his message of like his way of like getting messages around or whatever. But it's like it's really fucked up. But.
And then, like, when a ghoul's talking to, like, the dude that failed, like, hands come out of the ground and just grab the guy to, like, scare him. I'm like, this is so sick. You guys be pulled to hell or something?
Like, yeah, I know. I don't know. Yeah, it was really cool.
And so just, like, the level of, like, power that this dude has is pretty, like, unknown, but we feel like it's a lot.
Yeah, it's, like, it was a really powerful scene to just, like, really paint this like fucked up picture of like how powerful this guy is, how scary he is. And I feel like it's one of the better ways to like get introduced to like a big bad, because sometimes you'll get like introduced into a big bad and you're like, okay, what makes him like the big bad?
Yeah,
this is very clear in this story because he just got like tongues in his back pocket apparently. But yeah, it's super cool. Very, very powerful storytelling on both parts.
I'm a sucker for a big sword, Nathan.
I love a big sword, Daniel.
And like it's all wrapped up next to them when they're sleeping. So and it's bigger than Thonir, you know?
Like, how are you supposed to wield that?
Yeah, they got to carry that shit around.
Just drags on the ground, I imagine. So yeah, they're like hanging out there sleeping, trying to recover. And then a red bird flies into the Bird King and takes the Wraith Blade that they crafted and like just like wakes up. And this startles Bianca and she like runs, but she goes straight into a ghoul's men trying to hunt her down. And then Bird King absolutely wrecks them and consoles Bianca for Thonir's death, which is a fun scene. So I love this whole sequence where like this red bird, which I think is like the source of like the Bird King. He that's like actual like Bird King is like this bird. He like flies into this
He's got a skull in his chest.
He's got a skull in his chest, which is fun. Like, this bird is basically piloting a mech.
Yeah.
Of, like, this super cool, like, wraith dude. And when he goes in, like, the skull, like, starts to be on fire and, like, this blue flame. And it's just an incredible design. And seeing him in action as well is also super fun and satisfying. And then seeing him be, like, the gentle giant and, like, console Bianca. Mm. Very cool. So... And I feel like there's not enough designs with like flaming skulls, you know, like
more flaming designs. Skulls.
It's just Ghost Rider, and he just got there first, I guess. He's
cornered the market.
He did. Yeah, he monopolized. And I think Bird King's here to make it a duopoly or whatever it's called.
An oligopoly,
I think. Yeah, I think that's right.
Dude, I did not want Thonir to die. But it just makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
And it's fine, I guess.
I love the scene where Bird King cuts this guy like straight in half.
Oh, like down the middle.
Yeah, like down the middle. And it's just like, you just see like a red line and you're like, oh fuck, he's definitely cut in half.
Yeah.
But super cool. So chapter 6, Bird King helps Bianca bury Master Thonir, and then Bianca starts to head south, and Bird King's like, I got like nothing else to do. So it's like, I'll follow you, I guess. And then
they're going to Atlas, Nathan.
They're going to Atlas. And
which is not on the map.
It's not on the map. Yeah, so, I noticed that as well. And I'm like, where are we?
Must be really fucking far.
Because the Feather Hill was on there. The Flatlands was on there.
So she didn't really know about Atlas.
Before this?
Before the story. Yeah, she's new to head south if she wanted to go to Atlas.
There's a little bit of lore about Atlas being like overrun by like evil shit. And that's why they were where they would need to be. But then it turns out that it's like the other way around. And where they are is where the evil
like,
shit is.
They like really welcome like the Sintered. So that was something that they mentioned.
They
so
what?
They like welcome like the Sintered
people. Atlas does?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So that's like, I guess.
I just need the second volume out, dude. I was ready to keep reading.
Yeah, dude.
As soon as this ended, I was like, oh, fuck, that's right.
I really thought there was going to be just like so much more. I was just like on a roll reading it. I'm like, oh, fuck, that's the end. You know?
Yeah. But yeah, so Bianca starts to head south towards Atlas. Bird King follows. And then that one, a ghoul guard, makes it to the triplets who like chain him up to like be their eyes. So we see the triplets of Bispin. It's like these assassin people. They have like big scythes on chains, which is such a fun idea.
Hell yeah.
And they like drag him. They like lurk in the darkness. I don't think they really have eyes, or they can only maybe see in like the shadows.
They can only see when they're in the darkness.
Which is so cool. Such a fun idea.
And like again, they live in like this hole and are connected by like there's like a chain that goes down into the hole and it's connected to like a big bell.
Why?
So random.
Who came up with this?
Yeah.
Does it make a sound? I don't know. But yeah, they're super cool and it's fun seeing him like get dragged into that
as well. And they kind of look like a Grim Reaper type.
Yeah, or like Plague Doctor kind of.
Oh yeah, design. They have the Plague Doctor looking masks, mm-hmm. and it doesn't look like there's any eye holes or anything. So it just kind of plays into the whole blind thing.
Yeah,
I'm glad they have that because these guys are very scary, and you'd think they'd just be like super OP, like if they could see, you know. But they had to kind of handicap them.
There's like a healthy balance there of like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. So then, chapter 7. Bianca and Bird King, they head like more south to Atlas. They see like a ritual thing that's a tribute to like keep them safe or whatever. Just some more lore there. And, you know, Bird King, he does still have the arrows in him, by the way, but he's like, like letting little birdies fly around him and like hang out on the arrows and stuff. I just love that. I can't say I'm not a huge fan of his cape, like in the back. Have you seen like how much it droops down?
And it's kind of cool because it's like battle worn. Oh, you mean like from behind?
Yeah, from behind.
Just looks like one of those stringer tank tops that you see in the gym.
Yeah, it does. Maybe it is one of them.
So you would like it better if it was just kind of like started at the shoulders.
I'm cool with it drooping, but it like droops down to his ass.
Yeah.
So maybe like a
little. I like that it's there because the red gives like a lot of contrast to the whole story.
Yeah, you know? I think the cape is needed for that contrast, but I think the design of the cape might have been trying a little bit too much, but that's literally the only. I still think he's like one of the coolest characters I ever designed. I'm
gonna get a tattoo of the back of Bird King so you can see the droopiness every time you see me,
and I will make fun of you for it because the front of him is so much cooler. Can you imagine going to Crom and be like, can you just do the back of Bird King?
Yeah. I really like the cape.
Big fan of the cape. So yeah, they're going to Atlas. Bianca's like talking the whole time. Like Bird King does not talk at all. So he's just like listening, I guess.
Yeah.
He could think that she's really annoying.
He probably has no eardrums. So
I don't know. He's a bird. Bird's here, I think. So
true.
And then they're ambushed in the forest by the triplets and they have to fight them off. And this fight escalates so fucking fast. Like the horse gets wrapped up in like the scythe chains and then gets chopped into like bits.
Yeah, like all three of their scythes like wrap them out and then they just pull and yeah. It's like
whoosh. Which is I was like, what the fuck? Like that just happened so fast.
It looks like Jenga falling over.
Yeah, like. it's unreal. And like this dude again nails the comic book lettering in this fight. There's a point where like a ghoul's guard dude comes into the mix and Bird King like grabs him and throws him, but the lettering is just toss. But he's like clearly throwing him like pretty fucking far, which I think is really funny. It's this panel right here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He's just like
But there's a couple of different elements there where they like take Bird King's sword away and that like depowers him, I guess. And so Bianca has to like jump into like the shadows, which is where they're kind of lurking to get it back. So there's something for both of them to do, which I appreciate. It's not just Bird King like wrecking them.
She's like hugging like this blade,
which would that's not a great idea. Yeah, it doesn't seem like a great idea. But she like gets it back, and then you know she's almost dragged into the darkness, and then Bird King just like stabs into like the darkness and kills one of the assassins and gets Bianca back. I just liked all the elements there. I think there's a lot of ways to get creative with it.
It's super fun that all the backgrounds of these panels are just like different colors.
Yeah, they're like these really like the color palette's really nice.
It's like it's like these pastel kinda,
colors. Yeah, yeah.
And because like if and the colors were too close to each other, it'd be kind of weird. But they're all like different, like colors, kind of adding to like that contrast of the whole page.
Yeah, because I think a lot of the like character designs and stuff are really dark. So when there's action going on in like a really bright, blank, you know, pastel red or pastel yellow background.
Yeah.
It's super cool. I think it totally adds to it.
Definitely.
And so Birdmaster and Bianca fight them, but
who's sorry, Birdmaster?
Not Birdmaster. Bird King and Bianca fight them.
Listen to our new episode of Birdmaster.
And so they eventually kill them all, and then they leave a ghoul's guard to tell a ghoul that he failed again, which is like the worst case scenario for this dude. He's like, just kill me, like I don't want to go back there.
Yeah.
And then that's it. So that was the end of book one, or end of act one.
Very important panel, Nathan. He does the classic silent brute thing by picking up Bianca and just puts him on his shoulder.
Yes.
So they can walk.
So
which might be really hot for her since his head is on fire.
It is right next to a flame, and it's a blue flame.
A blue flame. That's even hotter.
I think that means it is hotter.
Or it's dying, I don't know.
Yeah. Probably super toasty up there. It doesn't look comfortable to sit up on one of his shoulders either. But yeah, definitely some Step by Bloody Step vibes, because like this dude does not talk and this is clearly like the talkative one.
Yeah.
But
and then it says end of act one,
which was very abrupt for me because I knew that there was still like 30 pages left and it's all back matter, baby. But I was like, damn it, I want more of this, you know? So yeah. I was like, shit. But that was the book. Let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters. We got the making of Bird King, Nathan.
Yes. This is premium Back Matter.
Yes.
And I mainly just wanted a bunch of Crom stuff, and they definitely delivered. So just like some Bird King designs, first and foremost. We see the bird, which is Bird King. He's got like the skull on his chest and just what the bird looks like. But I also like that he has like the color palette like next to it as well. I always like when they have that. So they have one for like Bird King, and this is the one that he like made into like a poster.
Wish I get tattooed. Should I just get the bird?
The bird would be kind of cool too. Yeah. Which one of these poses do you think? Maybe just like the center one?
Definitely with wings out, like the top one, top center.
Top center, yeah, that's a good one.
Or I think ideal would be like what I would want, like going in would be like this Bird King one where he's just like playing with the birds. And he's just standing.
Yeah.
So you get the full front,
which is adorable.
Adorable.
His rib cage or whatever is like super wide as well.
Yeah, it's cool.
But yeah, I like that we never see like his chin like this entire time.
I don't need a chin.
I don't need a chin. I just like the top half of the skull. We get the designs for Bianca, Master Thonier, and then like pencils. So clearly like him, Crom figuring out who these characters are, what they look like, which is super cool. We get to see some of the thumbnails. We even see some of the wraiths, which I think Bird King is the only wraith that we see in this, really. So there's some people, or maybe that was
initial, so you're saying concepts. Like Bird King is like the wraith.
I think Bird King is the wraith of Feather Hill.
So
I think that was the idea.
Oh, they're wraiths.
So there's like five more.
So he's five
more super sick Crom designs.
This is like spoilers.
It could be spoilers. I don't know.
So we could see like what the other wraiths look like in the other thrones or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Some more designs, lots of pencils, which is cool. I was looking at each one for like a couple of minutes.
Yeah. So these are. So this all kind of came from like a. Like original, like doodle, I guess. And so like
Hellboy.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Wow. This is a European Mike Mignola.
Right. Yeah. So there's definitely like a lot of like rough, just kind of sketches on like trying to put this all together, you know,
being able to just like produce this just like randomly, I think is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Then we see like some. Like thumbnails for like pages, and then we see like the entire process from script to like completed page with like the initial like rough sketch, and then like the blue pencils, and then the inks, and then like the flats and colors with the like lettering all the way to like the finished page, which is super cool. We see that for a couple different pages, and then that's it. And then we see the map again, but yeah, that is Bird King.
It'd be kind of cool if like they had this like first map like at the beginning.
They did
showing like no, I know, but like showing Bianca's knowledge of like this world, and then like the one at the end.
Oh,
has like Atlas in there?
Yeah, because it was an element that like she's never been outside of like Feather Hill.
Yeah,
I guess. And so when she went to the Flatland, she's like, "Wow, this is gonna be so cool!" But it's just Flatland, so,
right?
But yeah, that would be a cool addition.
Yeah, so by Dark Horse, great book.
Yeah.
Nathan, what do you rate it?
This is like incredible. I like the fact that it's like the first time in a while where I've read a trade and then was like sad that it ended, especially for like a fantasy book, which I'm typically not like super crazy about, or I'll get like a little bit bored because there's too many elements being introduced at the same time or whatever.
Sure.
This is definitely like a gotta have it for me.
Mm.
My only criticism is that I just want more. So
same.
Yeah, gotta have it for me. Favorite, you know, ice cream on there, all your nice toppings. This is a treat yourself kind of gotta have it, you know.
Yeah,
and that warms your heart.
Yeah, dude, this would definitely be a big contender for like one of our best books that we have like reviewed, you know, because this one came out last year but we didn't know about it, you know. So yeah. I think it definitely would have won like best new book kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I think I want to say the new one comes out fairly soon, in like a couple months. Wait, wouldn't you say
this? Where'd you hear that? This came out in like November, I think.
Oh, okay, maybe not then.
So probably.
I know Crom has like another book called Raiders.
He's also got another job, Nathan. So it might take some time.
I know. I understand that.
Yeah, they're like from the creator of Raiders,
and so I almost will just like want to read because I think it's also Daniel Friedman that writes it.
Yeah, they seem to be homies.
Yeah, which is cool. So.
Yeah. No.
So gotta have it for you as well.
Gotta have it, Nathan.
Yeah, you gotta. I want to buy it physically. I want to have it on the bookshelf.
That's a lot of different scoops of other pastel colored ice creams.
Yeah,
we'll have like a strawberry. We'll have like a mint and chip. We'll have like a, and then lots of toppings. You know,
yeah, lots of toppings. Like
lots of good stuff.
You know, I don't know if there's like little skulls as like candy you could put on there.
Yeah,
or like you know some cherry like sauce for like all the blood like in a ghoul's. Fucking temple.
Yeah, dude.
Super cool. I highly recommend.
Definitely. Good pick, Nathan. You kind of went in a little blind and you just demanded it based off a cover.
Dude, yeah, I saw just like a random tweet and I was like, wow, this looks kind of cool. And I looked at like, I downloaded the sample. I looked at like four pages and I was like, this is my shit right
here. Yeah, this would definitely be like a book if you like picked it up off of a shelf in a store and just kind of flipped through it and be like, this is sick. It's going home with me.
Yeah, you know? I do that a lot too. Like, I'm trying not to buy that many number ones for like normal books, but like I still like take the bait a little bit and I look at the pages, and if it's like something that wows me, I'll still pick it up.
Yeah.
And so that's like what happened with this book. So
for sure.
So let's get into Back Matter Matters. Oh, sorry. The poll list.
I'm gonna leave that in with the silence.
Well, I was looking at my notes and I was like, what's the next thing? And I saw I just wrote BMM. And let's go into the poll list, colon.
Shove in your box.
The poll list. What did you shove in your box?
What'd you get in?
Bit of a light week, but I got Batman 900.
Or 135.
Or whatever it is. Who knows? They're doing the Marvel thing where they're like, it's actually 900, but it's really 130.
Really snuck up on us.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Yeah. Chip's been on 800 issues. Yeah. But yeah. And it's also weird because it's like really the jumping on point was like 125 or something is when Chip got on.
Yeah, something like that.
And so he's really only like 10 issues in. So there's like three different numbers I have to memorize. But
right.
So I picked that up. I picked up Shazam. Number one from Mark Waid and Dan Mora.
Yeah.
One of our favorites. And then Money Shot Comes Again. Number one came out this week.
I tried that down.
And
did you even read like the other trades?
No, but it had the cover that looked like Infinity War, but it was all the Money Shot characters. And it was like all them in space. And I was like, I just have to pick this up. It's like too good.
Infinity War cover?
Yeah. I don't know if I have a picture, but like it was like an Infinity War tribute.
Infinity Gauntlet?
Sorry, Infinity Gauntlet. Okay. Yeah, I'm a fake comic fan, apparently.
You're such an MCU fan.
I literally have it on my fucking wall. Like, I have that Infinity Gauntlet. But yeah, it's like an Infinity Gauntlet.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, spoof footage. That was fun.
There's also Groot number one. Did you get that?
I looked at it, and I debated it, but I'm trying not to buy number ones, Daniel.
Sure.
So I didn't get it.
But I'll look at it and decide.
I looked at it, and then I flipped through a couple pages, and I didn't see Groot. And I was like, what am I doing here then?
Ooh, I don't think so.
He's definitely in there. But yeah, I was like, maybe not. So
did you read anything?
Yeah, I read Green Arrow number one that came out last week.
Green Arrow number. Okay. How's that?
From the Donna DC. It's like exactly what I wanted in like a Green Arrow series. They're really kind of leading into the whole like Green Arrow, like sort of family aspect. So there's, you know, Green Arrow there, Black Canary. There's Roy Harper, Connor Hawk, which is his son. And there's like the whole like family dynamic going there. Really good artists. And I can't even remember his name, but it was like not someone I'm super familiar with.
Okay.
And then there's like sci-fi aspect. That's like a part of it as well. But I really enjoyed it. It was like kind of what I wanted.
That's good.
So
especially in like a spinoff kind of book.
Yeah, exactly. And then I read Shazam number one.
How is it?
It's good.
Yeah.
It's like also exactly what I want in like a Shazam book, which never happens, I feel like.
You know?
But it's like it feels like a Spider-Man book, but it's like Shazam, which I think is how Shazam should be like handled.
Yeah.
Where it's like he's like still a kid. He's still trying to like, even though he has like the wisdom of Atlas, that doesn't mean he's smart. So like he has to like go to school still.
Yeah. You know? Like don't forget that.
Yeah. Bit. And it opens with him riding a dinosaur. So I'm like, this is already top tier for
good
me.
Good start.
And he has. I assume you're going to read it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to spoil the first scene. It doesn't like spoil anything. It's just a fun moment.
Okay.
He saves a dinosaur and then has tea with the dinosaur family.
All right.
He just has a cup of tea with them. And I'm like, this is already insane. But Dan Mora like really hones into like a funner, like sillier style.
Sure.
Which is really impressive. Like Shazam in his like Shazam form is very like, his expression is like very childlike, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
And so he's like very interested by things that are happening, or he's like very excited by like, you know, that he's fucking around with dinosaurs or whatever. So I liked it a lot. I think it was pretty cool.
Cool.
And it ended differently than I thought it was going to. And so I'm interested in where it goes.
Sweet.
So does that mean is he off World's Finest then, I would assume?
I think World's Finest.
Or did that or no, that's series still going. End? I think it's still going, I want to say.
Because it's on like what, 14?
13.
Didn't 14 just come out?
You might be right.
But like, so how, where do you stop, you know?
How does surely he do it?
It has to. Yeah. Like he can't do both.
Yeah. So, but I enjoyed it.
Cool.
And then I started catching up on Chip's Daredevil and because it's on like issue 10 and I have all of them, but I was like, damn, I need to catch up on these.
Did you read the first series?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not all the way through, but
oh, you I have it. Just skipped.
I read Devil's Reign and then I read the first issue of Daredevil's run. So I read like 2 and 3. And okay. I'm going to like catch up on that.
Nice.
I think as I go, because most of it's on Comixology Unlimited.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just want to like read something in bed, like in the dark.
100%.
And so I'm like, OK, well, I need to catch up on this series. So I might as well just download it on Comixology. Even though I've bought the physical book, which I think is kind of ideal.
That's what I've been doing lately.
Like, so I have this physically, but it's on Comixology Unlimited. So
I can read, like, on my break. I can read, like, you know, downstairs or yeah. in bed or when I'm taking a shit.
We are the ideal reader because we're buying it physically. Chip gets the number for that. Yeah. You know? And then we're downloading it on Comixology, and I assume he gets some sort of kickback for that. So or maybe he doesn't directly, but.
I, like, finished Batman Killing Time. Reading out my phone.
Oh, okay. Nice.
I think I only read number one physically.
But you have all of them?
Yeah. And now I can just put them away.
Yeah.
And I read like the first trades worth of World's Finest.
Yeah.
And that book is fucking bananas.
Yeah. I need to catch up on that one too.
How far are you?
I'm only like four in. It was like right when Robin got lost in time.
Okay.
And so, like they had just beat that like devil person. I think I'd maybe read one issue after that.
They beat the devil person.
You know, there's like a devil person that they're trying to lock in the mountain.
Did they lock him in there?
Yeah, they did.
Okay. So you might be at like six because they lock him in like the sixth.
Okay. So then that's where I am.
So you saw the bit where like they got like the Green Lantern ring.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was fucking crazy.
It was so fun.
I'm like, this is so dumb, yeah. But I love it.
It was great.
They both had the will to get the lantern ring, and so they just merged into one person.
Sure. They fuck it.
They fucking Gotenks, man.
They did Gotenks and
Gogeta or whatever.
I didn't care because it was Dan Mora drawing it. So I'm so like, sick. You could do anything. You could do anything to me right now.
And it only lasted for like an issue or two, so I couldn't be like mad at it. And
yeah, it's just like
the design was so bizarre. And I'm like, let's just fucking roll with the punches. And like, the pacing is incredible in that book.
Yeah, it really is. With how much is going on.
Like, you fly through that trade.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
There's still so much that goes on, but it's still so easy to read.
Yeah. You
know, it's great. That's a sleeper hit for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Did you watch anything?
I watched half of season 2 of Barry.
Okay.
And I watched what's probably like a top 3 episodes of television, which is when he fights the jujitsu guy.
The jujitsu guy.
It's like the whole episode is Barry trying to like kill this jujitsu guy that slept with like the cop's wife, the cop with like the mustache. And so he like Barry's like fighting him, and then he's got like a daughter that's a fucking gremlin like monster thing.
Uh-huh.
And she like starts biting Fuke's like cheek at like one point, and she like climbs trees and then goes on top of the house and like, we need to kill her. And Barry's like, I don't want to kill her. You don't remember this at all?
This is like 2 years ago. I think I'd have to see the people in order for me to remember.
I couldn't even tell if it was John Hamm or not. He kind of looks like him, but you remember this guy? And like Barry's in like the, hold on.
So who is that?
He's like a jujitsu guy that was sleeping with the cop that like Barry killed. Sorry, the cop that Barry killed, the partner of that cop.
Yeah.
His wife was sleeping with this jujitsu guy, and the cop was like, you need to kill.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I remember the context too much, but I do remember this fight.
Yeah, the whole like episode was hilarious.
The whole episode bizarre. Is just the fight?
It's pretty much like a fight with him.
Uh-huh.
And then like his daughter shows up. Who's also like an insane jujitsu person.
Yeah.
Kind of like a gremlin, but Barry like refuses to kill her. He doesn't want to like go that far. Right.
Yeah.
And then like later they go to like the store after he thought that he like killed Ronnie, which is his name. And then they like fight in the grocery store, and there's like all this like shit that happens. Yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, what the fuck? And like, I honestly need to
rewatch the whole thing.
I that's like one of my favorite episodes of television. I was like so entertained the whole time. I like, Sophia like came home and I was like glued to the TV. I was like watching. I was like, I couldn't even say hi to her.
Don't talk to me.
I was like, that was insane.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm catching up on that. Cause
I got to watch more of that so that you don't pass me.
Oh, I'm already not caught up. I think like season 4 is coming out.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And so,
or is it out?
It's coming out weekly, and I'm in like the middle of season 3.
Okay, yeah.
Good season still. I watched The Hangover 3.
I'm sorry.
We were fucking scrolling for like a minute trying to find something, and we just could not agree on something. And like that came up. She's like, have you seen this? I'm like, no. She's like, should we watch it? I'm like, sure. Like we just kind of like gave up. Have you ever watched that? The third one?
I think so. I think I have.
They have to go like back to Vegas.
Yeah. And then Ken Jeong is like parachuting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like naked. That's a good
movie. What do you mean? You're sorry.
I don't know.
It's better than the second one.
It is. That's not hard though.
And it's a nice bow on like the whole trilogy, sure. You know?
Yeah.
Like John Goodman's in it. I'm like,
I don't remember that.
I'm like, is that fucking John Goodman? So it's like a throwback to like the first one, because when Mike Epps like makes up the drugs and like when he like accidentally gives them roofies instead of ecstasy.
Oh yeah.
He's like, man, Marshall's gonna be pissed off at me about that one. John Goodman plays Marshall, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and there's like a heist in it, you know, where they have to like steal some gold or whatever.
I don't remember that much, but yeah.
Good movie. I liked it a lot. And like Melissa McCarthy's in it. I'm like, this is so like random.
Really? Maybe I've definitely watched it, but it was like kind of when it first like came out.
I remember seeing it. I'm like, I didn't really like the second one, so I didn't see the third one.
But yeah.
No, I liked it a lot. Like there was like a joke in that I won't like repeat, but like we were fucking dying. Like we had to like pause it because
it was a racist thing.
It was very racist.
Oh, that's so funny.
And we had to like pause it and then we like rewind it to watch it again. And that was probably the best part of the movie, which is probably not something that would come out nowadays, but great movie.
Are all of them by
Todd Phillips?
They're all Todd Phillips films?
Yeah.
Wow.
Todd Phillips is in this one.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Good for him.
It was like Ken Jeong's like flying and then he flies by like a hotel room and Todd Phillips is in the hotel room in like a bathrobe, like paying like a hooker, I think.
That's funny.
And so, yeah, good movie.
Very nice.
Did you play Jedi Survivor?
I have not yet, just because there's like apparently a lot of bug issues on PC and I don't have a new generation Xbox.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I bought you one before I got myself one.
Yeah, thanks, so. Dog. You're the man.
I even used my employee discount on it.
Yeah. So, like, I was telling you about this. There was some bug on, like, Coruscant, which is the first planet, to where, like, I needed to make the zip line go to a certain area.
Yeah.
But it stopped, like, right in the middle of, you know, where it needs to go, because there's supposed to be something there, like some piece of a ship.
Yeah.
And the guy you're with is supposed to go chop it down. And I had to watch like a game playthrough to see like
how I needed
to go. Yeah. Cause that piece didn't show up for me, you know? So there's no way for me to ask the dude to chop it down. So after like 30 minutes of playing, I just had to restart a new campaign and redo everything.
God, that'd be so annoying.
In order for it to show up. Cause I guess like, you know how you can go like different ways in the map. I guess I didn't go the storyline way and I went to this like side area before I was supposed to. And then it's like, hey, there's even like a pop-up thing. It's like, if don't go this way because it's not the story way. I'm like, okay. Who cares?
Like, fuck you.
Yeah. And apparently it's fuck me because I put it on myself. Yeah.
They're like, if you like go the side quest way, there's going to be a random, you know, villain that takes this pole.
Yeah, it made no fucking sense. And so, yeah, to redo it. But since then, I haven't had any issues.
So what's the idea of the game? Because I know I'm going to play it, but I haven't seen anything really.
It's like
it.
A bit later from when the last one ends. Like, you got the Mantis, but your team is, like, dismantled. They all kind of...
Mantis is the ship.
Mantis is the ship.
Do they have that thing that shows them where all the Jedi are? There's like a little Tesseract thing that they had, and it's like, here's where all the young Jedi are, or something like that.
I think they like gave that to somebody more important.
Okay, I think you might be right, but so what's the crew up to?
The crew. So he's just okay. Let me remember the plot, because I've been really going pretty hard on like the whole like side stuff.
You know,
finding every crate to get every little thing.
Oh, I love that.
There's he can like use the force in certain areas to figure out what happened in those areas.
Okay.
And so there's these little like glowing things you go gather. And so I'm just like trying to get to all the areas and whatnot.
That's cool.
But those maps are so fucking big.
Really?
It's nuts. Like when you showed up, I just left a planet because I was like done with it. Like I was so over
how much there was.
Wow. Like I didn't go to every little nook and cranny of like this map. Because I got lost. Like, you have a map that you can pop up, but I didn't know where I was and where I hadn't been.
Wow.
And it was infuriating.
Can you, like, fast travel?
You can fast travel, but, like, it's just, like, you don't know like where you need to go. You know what I mean? Because of how big it is. And oh, dude, you know that meme that you sent me about the Fallen Order? About Ogdo Bogdo? There's a fucking another one of those.
There's an Ogdo Bog 2.
It's on Kobo, and which is the second planet you go to. And as soon as I saw it, I'm like, fuck me. And it and it hit me once, I was fucking dead.
No way. It says powerful as Ogdo Bogdo.
Yeah, it was the same fucking animal.
For those that don't know, there's a monster in the first Jedi Fallen Order video game that you just don't have to fight at all. It's not important, but there's a crate that looks really nice behind him or whatever. I don't even remember why I was fighting him, but it's literally like harder than most Dark Souls like monsters, where you have to just memorize every single fucking like movement he has and how to dodge it, because if he hits you like once or twice, you're fucking out.
There's like,
he's a nightmare.
Multiple kinds of those animals that you have to fight. There's one that's like, it looks like a Yeti kind of thing with like horns coming out of the side. It might be like kind of the the same creature that's in like Empire.
Yeah.
But like not in the snow. And there's this other like Triceratops looking one.
Cool.
And I've like died so many times fighting those things. Cause some of them you can avoid and just not go to that area. But some you have to fight in order to like move on.
Yeah.
And I've debated like, cause I just picked like the middle difficulty, which is Jedi Knight. Which I did in the last one.
And you're debating going down?
Yeah. I just want to do fucking story mode.
You're just not a gamer. You don't have the gamer blood.
Dude, I don't have patience, I guess. And I've gotten to the point where I get like anxiety now. Like if you go into like a little cave and some little creature pops up, fucking goosebumps, all my hairs on my arms stand up.
That's what you want. You're immersed. You're
like it. Because if I die, I go back to my last like saving point.
You want steaks, Daniel.
I only like eating steak. I don't like other steaks.
Not incurring the steaks.
Yeah, and it's just, dude, and
that's awesome.
And so I'm at that point, and I wanted this game to be longer than the first one, but after how long I played it like every day since it came out and put like at least an hour into it, and now I'm like, fuck, this game's long.
Well, stop doing all the side shit.
No, I know, but it's like, because you don't know necessarily where the storyline is going.
Oh.
Like, which way is like the main way? You know? So you just end up going other ways, and then it just stops.
There's not like a waypoint, and it's like, here's the story mission.
Sometimes. But anyway. No ponchos in this one.
Which is crazy.
I guess Cal Kestis has grown up and he's grown out of ponchos.
I liked my orange poncho.
Maybe you have to earn the poncho, because you can earn different shirts and stuff and different torso things. So maybe you get a poncho later. Right now, my guy looks pretty sick, but like I will look forward to getting a poncho later.
Yeah. It's funny because I was like, these ponchos look kind of weird at first, but then I was like, this is ridiculous. Why is there a poncho? And then I just like slowly fell in love with it.
Now it's essential.
Yeah. Now I just want the poncho.
Yeah. Now that I can't have it. Are you shitting me?
I'm like, why would you take this away?
I think so. The game's like gigantic to download. And I think it's got the original Fallen Order on it. Like, cause when you go to like load game, continue new story mode, it's just like Jedi Fallen Order. I'm like, what do you mean?
Have you clicked it?
No, I don't want to jump into that.
Why not?
I don't know. I just like, I'm not that curious, but whoa. I think that, cause I think it's like 140 gigs or something.
The game?
Yeah.
That's pretty big. Yeah.
Yeah. And I felt big. And so anyway, good game. I'll keep playing that, and it's consumed most of my life so far.
Action's pretty good. The controls and stuff. All
action's
that
good. Dude, I feel like I was much better on the old one.
And I think you played on the easiest difficulty on the old one.
I did not. I know for a fact that I didn't.
Okay.
But I like was dying too much to the creatures to where I went into like the training to where you can like train like the fake stormtroopers or whatever.
Yeah.
So I can learn how to fucking like fight like close range and just like not die.
Mm-hmm.
And I was that desperate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, this is your gamer arc.
I fucking guess. Yeah.
Cool.
And so it's fun.
Glad you're liking it so far.
Yeah. Hey, we got plenty of time.
Plenty of time, I guess.
We got plenty of time for a game that I created.
I'll say this. If Daniel does end up cutting it out, leave this in the audio. We're going to play Baldle. And I guess bald people just based off the top half above their eyebrows of their head.
No, because eyebrows, you would get every single one. You know what I mean?
I think I get 90 of these or 90% of these with eyebrows.
Yeah, because it's crazy how big of an identifier just eyebrows are.
Yeah, it is. I think it helps, but I'm happy with who I got. That's like five.
Out of what, like 15?
I don't know. You made the game.
Anyway, I thought there were more.
That was fun. Thank you. That's so stupid you put that together. But
because like we talked about it on the last one. I'm like, oh, I need to do that.
I totally forgot we even talked about that.
That's the beauty of editing every week is I remember everything that we talk about. Yeah,
and then say that we're going to do.
Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, that's a good idea.
That's funny.
Anyway. And I thought, so I think we have another open week.
Okay.
For what we're going to read next week.
What are we going to read next week?
Cool. Well, I picked last time and I picked a banger. So yours better be pretty banging.
I don't like the whole you pick one, I pick one, because then it kind of defeats the purpose of our birthday ones being special.
That's fair.
So we should probably do DC next. You should
give me ideas. Yeah, we haven't done DC in a little bit since Blue and Gold.
I think it'd be fun is if we both picked a DC one that we'd both somewhat okay with, but can't necessarily decide on, and then we just flip a coin.
Okay, I like that.
And that might be a solid way to go about picking books in the future.
Yeah, honestly. Okay.
So I think we need to, personally, I think we need to review some of the very clear classics, you know, because we haven't really gotten to a lot.
Yeah.
And so, but there we do kind of lean towards the creator-owned underground kind of stuff that's more lesser known.
Mm-hmm.
My pick will be Preacher.
Okay.
And so, and then you can choose whatever you'd like.
You want me to choose a Vertigo one or?
It could be Vertigo or DC.
Okay. I think I really want to do Superman by Tom King and Adam Kubert. So.
Pick it, everyone.
Are you serious? That defeats the purpose of what you just said. Okay. Well, shit. Now I gotta let me look.
What about
Batman Universe by Bendis and Nick Darrington?
Dude, why do you want to pick a Walmart book?
Because they were sick. Did you read that one?
I like started it.
Did you start a Batman Universe? Okay.
Hold on. I didn't start Batman.
You're saying you don't pick
someone from the Trinity, really?
You're saying you don't want to read a Nick Darrington book. That's what you're saying?
I love Nick Darrington.
I just want you to say that to me.
What was the premise of Up in the Sky?
Up in the Sky, the Tom King one?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't read it.
All right. We can do Superman. It's fine.
We'll flip,
and then hopefully I win.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Superman Up in the Sky then is my pick.
All right. I'm going to flip it. I'm going to catch it and then put it down on my sunburned arm.
Be careful.
Yeah, you gotta call it in the air, right?
Heads.
It's tails. We're reading Preacher.
Goddamn. Okay, yeah. All right. Garth Ennis, Steve Dillon.
Yep. So when you go on Comixology Unlimited, it'll only give you like book one, which is the first 10. The first arc is the first 7.
First 7 issues?
Yeah.
Okay. I've never read Preacher. So
I'm on like book 2 or 3. So I'm like somewhat into it. So this would be the kind of a reread. I haven't read it in a couple. It's been like a couple of years, like maybe 2019 is when I read it.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, let's do that. Preacher, a classic, a TV show.
A TV show
as well. Next time we coin flip, I'll have something ready. But yeah.
Yeah. So I, unless like there's something that like, you know, we can just both really agree on, then. Mm-hmm. Sure, we'll just pick that. We don't have to coin flip, but I think it's nice to have.
Yeah, totally. That's the show.
That is the show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. If you're listening, go watch our Baldo game where on YouTube. We got all our links in our link tree. Should be in the description of however you're experiencing this. Go like, follow, subscribe. We appreciate it. You can email us at trailwriterspod@gmail.com and you can tell us what to read.
Yeah. We need some DC books, apparently.
Tell us your score on Baldle.
Yeah. It's not as hard as you think it would be.
Yeah. Or it is very hard. Much harder than you think it'd be.
Study your bald men and then do it.
It would be really hard.
Bald women on there. That would have been really impressive.
So what was weird is when I looked up like bald celebrities, it was a lot of just like it was celebrity women with like Photoshop bald heads.
Oh, that's strange.
Like Scarlett Johansson was on there. He was like, what is this?
Oh, okay.
But anyway, thanks for watching. All right, bye.
Yep, bye.